I couldn't make a statement in all good faith and say to you that there is no voter fraud in the United States and there's no voter fraud in Pennsylvania.
Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows. Pink fluffy unicorns dancing on rainbows.
Yes, I remember her, Secretary of the State there for Pennsylvania during the Corbett years. Carol Eichle, I believe her name was. Basically saying, you know what, hey, there's no, I can't say there's no voter fraud, even though right before the voter ID case went before the Supreme Court here in Pennsylvania, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania issued participated in a stipulation of facts. You know, those things that, you know, those things called facts, they agreed that there had never been anything that they knew of in-person voter fraud in the state of Pennsylvania. They didn't know of any cases of it ever happening. They didn't know of any cases that were going on, and they couldn't prove that anything would ever happen in the future. But she still can't say that it's there. It's kind of nuts. But what we're hearing in the frames that we're hearing coming out of the Trump camp is that if he loses here in Pennsylvania, it's because it's rigged. And there's an army of these mythical voters who, you know, are going to go and pretend they're someone else and raid our ballot box. Seems kind of paranoid. Here to talk a little bit about this issue and voter suppression going on, I've asked Jeff Garris. He's the Outreach and Engagement Director at the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center. Jeff, thanks for taking time for us.
Sure. Glad to be here, Rick.
Seems kind of ridiculous at this point to be saying that there's all of this in-person voter fraud, that, you know, the game's being rigged, and it's because Pennsylvania doesn't have this voter ID law.
Well, yes, and thankfully we don't have the voter ID law, because we could have potentially several hundred thousand people who are eligible to vote who would not be able to vote. And thankfully the attorneys who challenged the voter ID law under the state constitution prevailed just a little less than 4 years ago, actually. It was about a month before the 2012 elections.
And, you know, I go and I think of this, and you hear these stories, there's so much of this framing going on, Jeff, that I got to wonder how many people are buying into the possibilities that, you know, there's an army of unknown faces out there who are going to go show up at the polls and vote as Jeff Garris or as Rick Smith.
Well, yeah. And I think, you know, on the one hand, while there are a lot of other things I think I'd rather be talking about, you know, I think it's worth taking a moment and really deconstructing a little bit what we're talking about here and what this would actually take to change the outcome of a presidential election in the state of Pennsylvania, or any statewide election in Pennsylvania for that matter. So if you'd like, we could go through this a little bit and talk kind of actually what it would take, and then really ask ourselves, is this something that really we need to be concerned about, or is the allegation itself something that's even more serious that we should be worrying about?
Walk me through it. What's the argument behind it?
Okay. Well, you know, took a look here, went back through the last couple of presidential elections in Pennsylvania. The closest election that we had in recent history was back in 2004. And this was the re-election of George W. Bush. John Kerry was running against him. Kerry lost by about 150,000 votes. And that's considered a pretty close election here in Pennsylvania. So if we're saying we have a close election on our hands, and let's remind ourselves, you know, Trump made the suggestion that the only way that he could lose Pennsylvania was if there was massive in-person voter fraud. And as a reminder, no Republican candidate for president won Pennsylvania since George H.W. Bush back in 1988. So presumably we have to allow ourselves this idea that somehow Trump is more popular and more likely to win than any other candidate in recent memory. But, you know, the closest election, again, you know, was the 2004 election, about 150,000 votes. Trump talked about the idea of people going to the polls and voting five times or more. So if we took that number and we said five times, 150,000 votes, what you would basically need in an election that close would be an army of 30,000 people who are prepared to go and vote fraudulently five times, pretending to be somebody else who's already registered to vote, and to take all of the risks and all of the consequences that go along with that. Well, what are the safeguards that are already in place? Well, first off, folks are registered to vote. They have a signature on file. When you go to the polls, they have a poll book there that has the person's signature that faces the people working at the polls. When you sign into the book, you sign in, your signature is facing the opposite direction. So the first thing you need is 30,000 people who are prepared to forge five different people's signatures perfectly in front of the people working at the polls. Presumably, these are signatures that they may not have even seen before, probably have not seen before. In addition to that, you also have to take into consideration the fact that these folks who would be presumably going and impersonating five different voters also happen to know exactly who is registered to vote, where they are registered to vote. They have to take the chance that the poll workers are not friends, family members, neighbors, or someone who would know the person that they're trying to impersonate. Now, I will tell you, when I go to my polling place, as soon as I walk in the door, the three poll workers who are there, usually four poll workers, know me immediately because, hey, they live right around the corner from me.
Right.
If somebody tried to show up and say they were Jeff Garris, they'd be probably laughed out of the polls along with a call to the police department or the sheriff's office here in Philadelphia.
But isn't it easy to create kind of that possibility that if I lose, it's some nefarious force. Maybe Acorn has risen from the ashes, and they've got an army of 30,000 people who are willing to commit five crimes in one day just to usurp the ballot box and harm Donald Trump. Don't you think that's a little silly?
Well, silly is one word for it. I think we have to recognize this for what it is, which is this is, you know, fundamentally undermining people's confidence in our voting process, and really, and at its core, people fundamentally undermining confidence of the public in our democracy itself. And so, if there is no evidence, if, you know, as you pointed out correctly, you know, when the voter ID law was challenged 4 years ago, the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania provided zero examples of voter impersonation fraud at the polls. If you are going to make an allegation that our elections are rigged, that our elections are set up, that our elections are somehow open to this kind of large-scale voter fraud and that people could get away with it, you'd better have at least a few examples, and probably even more than that, to suggest that it would change the outcome of an election. When you do that, that is a fundamental attack on our election system. That is a fundamental attack on our democracy. And I think we have to recognize it as that, and I think we have to take it seriously. You know, this is not just a crazy allegation of, you know, an orange madman out there. This is something that fundamentally undermines confidence in the most fundamental part of our democracy.
And delegitimizing the ballot box and the entire, the entire structure of our country and our democracy, just a little thing, right?
Yeah. Well, and again, you get back to the whole notion of, is this logical to assume this? I mean, again, you know, in the poll books, it has the person's age listed. If you're 30 years old, you're not going to be able to go in and pretend to be somebody who's 70, 75 years old without a poll worker looking at you twice. 30,000 people voting five times to get 150,000 votes for one candidate. Is it really plausible to think that you could keep that many people engaged and that many people involved without some word getting out, without somebody getting caught at the polls, without somebody squealing on the whole situation? The reality is that we have a problem in this country with too few people voting.
Exactly.
You know, we really think that democracy is strongest when everyone participates, and everyone participates not just at the ballot box, but participates by talking with their legislators, talking with the people who represent them, making clear what their views are on particular issues. So, we think that it's really important that, people be engaged in the democratic process, that we don't look for opportunities to put up barricades and walls to prevent people from participating in voting. And so, you know, that's why we, you know, as Pennsylvania Budget and Policy Center, we're very concerned about the way that the voter ID law was rolled out 4 years ago. We put out a couple of reports about it. The shoddy way that the state attempted to provide IDs for people who may not have had them, and there are quite a few people who for various reasons don't have them. You can find that on the Pennsylvania Budget and Policy website under the menu bar for democracy. But, you know, again, this idea being that we need to have everyone participating in our democracy.
And for me, it's the other part. And I like the fact that you brought up, you know, we need more people voting. You know, to me, it's a refocus of voting rights in this country and in this Commonwealth to say, you know, how do we make sure that more people have access to the ballot box? I think a conversation has to be had of opening up early voting and other options, absentee voting, same day registration, bunch of that stuff, so that we do encourage more participation and open it up instead of what we've been seeing the last several years across the country with voter suppression laws like voter ID and other things. To me, it should be about opening things up.
Absolutely. And, you know, there are some ways that Pennsylvania has actually succeeded at improving people's ability to vote in the Commonwealth. You know, most recently, just in the last year, the Department of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, which is responsible for elections, put out for the first time in Pennsylvania online voter registration. A lot of other states had it already. But since that time period that's been out for just about a year now, over 100,000 people have either registered to vote for the first time or have, correctly, you know, changed their address for their voter registration when they've moved. This goes a long way toward keeping our voter registration rolls up to date, accurate. It also allows for counties, frankly, to save themselves a lot of money. You know, mostly voter registration cards before were being filled out, sent in to county election boards. County election boards had to have people sitting there, manually transcribing what they thought people had typed. And you know, there were often times where people would have, you know, illegible handwriting. It was difficult to get those, accurately transcribed. There were typographical errors. We've saved counties in Pennsylvania by having online voter registration hundreds of thousands of dollars, and we've made for more accurate registration rolls in Pennsylvania. There are a lot of other ways that we can improve access to the polls. That's a starting place. There is a coalition in Pennsylvania called Keystone Votes. It's pushing for a number of things. Many states have early voting. Pennsylvania is one of nine that does not have early voting. The Keystone Votes Coalition has suggested that would be one way to get folks more engaged, give people the opportunity. The opportunities for people to get an absentee ballot in Pennsylvania are very limited. This would provide an opportunity for folks who know that they may be working on election day, maybe working a very long day, to be able to vote and to have their voice heard on this. Other types of things that are out there as ideas are things like, you know, same-day registration and expanded, access to absentee ballots, voting by mail, which, you know, there are some states that do all of their elections by mail-in ballot.
Right. To me, it's that important. It's too important to not consider all these other alternatives. So my last question that I got, just to kind of bring this back. So in your opinion, your professional opinion, the idea that in-person voter fraud here in Pennsylvania is going to steal the election from Donald Trump is patently absurd.
It's absolutely ludicrous. And if someone's going to make the kind of far-fetched allegation that there's significant in-person voter fraud in Pennsylvania and that there could be a changed outcome in a statewide election, they'd better have some evidence to back that up. And we know already from the, you know, voter ID law trial 4 years ago that the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania had no evidence of anyone ever voting fraudulently in person.
No, none whatsoever. Jeff, I appreciate you taking the time. Thanks so much.
Sure. Good
great,
to be here.
Great talking with you, Jeff Garris, Outreach and Engagement Director. Again, you go back to that voter suppression, the voter ID law. I think Mike Terzai himself, I think Mike said it best when he said,
voter ID, which is going to allow Governor Romney to win the state of Pennsylvania. Done.
Quick break. Right back.